You're listening to Naked Archaeology from the Naked Scientists, and you can find more episodes like this at thenakedscientists.com/archaeology or on iTunes.
Next up is a new development in the field of man-made, naturally occurring material identification. An international team have put their heads together to find out what the differences are in the crystal structure of materials such as calcite. Now, calcite can appear naturally in rocks or as part of wall plaster or even ash. So this team have come up with a simple infrared light method that can be done in the field to spot the difference. Diana spoke to Christine Poduska and Stefano Cotterallo.
Well, I've always had an interest in materials and usually spent time trying to understand how to synthesize them to control properties. But what I did for a sabbatical leave was I worked with a group in Israel that was led by Steve Weiner, and they are interested in applying these kinds of material characterization techniques to archaeological materials. And so what brought Stefano and I to this project basically was trying to understand how the crystallinity of a material, basically how well ordered the atomic level structure is in a material, affects how we interpret how that material was used. And there was a very neat example related to calcite. So calcite forms as a rock, but it's also exactly the same chemical composition that you'd find in plaster that you'd use to make a wall or a floor. And so we were basically trying to use material characterization techniques that physicists and engineers might use, both experimentally and theoretically, to apply this to archaeological contexts.
Right, so it becomes useful in trying to work out what's man-made and what's not.
Exactly.
Okay then, so Stefano, how did you go about actually researching this to find out what the differences would be?
Okay, so what we use quantum calculations. So we start from quantum mechanics, and through quantum calculations within an approach called density functional theory, we can calculate and predict the effect of disorder in the vibrational spectrum, okay? Because atoms at the nanoscale move, okay? Everything moves depending on temperature and light and so on. So when Christine, with her infrared laser, shoots light on these particles, all the atoms start moving, following some modes, okay? Like the guitar, right? Everything starts oscillating, okay? The way they oscillate is correlated to the disorder that is left over inside these structures. Since one of my expertise is to calculate vibrations with respect to disorder, then we decided to try it, okay? So we created some artificial disorder, you know, it is a model. So based on the artificial disorder we state, then we calculate how these vibrational modes change, and then we discover that the way they change is some sort of fingerprint of every material. So every material, every crystal, has a set of a variation of these vibrations with respect to the characteristic disorders that we can create. Okay? In the case of archaeology, materials that have been made by man or materials that have been made by nature, okay, nature always have infinite time, has a lot of time nature to find the proper crystal structure, okay? So all these materials, depending how fast they grow, how long they relax, and how long they stay under high pressure, so they become more or less ordered. And the leftover disorder is responsible of the way this spectra changes with respect to size. So what Christine is measuring, which is the spectrum for different size of particles, because she keeps grinding and then see how the spectra moves, is a fingerprint of each material. And the way they move is explained through our model.
Okay, and Chris, how did you go about actually proving that this was working? I mean, Stefano's just mentioned a little bit about, you know, creating your own artificial crystals, but could you go into a little bit more depth about the tests that you ran?
Sure. Yeah, just to describe how the experiment works, it's neat because it's very simple, and it's a kind of experiment that people might do in a chemistry lab, in a university kind of setting, but it turns out it's very easy to take this out and use this in the field, which is why it's so good for archaeology. So what we do is take a very small amount of our sample, and small means that if you drew a period or something on a piece of paper, the amount of material we use would basically fit in that. So it's a very small amount of material. And we grind that up just by hand with a mortar and pestle, and then we add another bit of material in it to sort of disperse our sample within that. And then what we do is we press that into a small little pellet, and shine infrared light through it. And that's the same light that you would be using, for example, in your TV remote to change the channel. And that information we get, basically there's some frequencies that are absorbed, and that tells us about how the molecules in that material are vibrating. And from that, we can use that as a fingerprint to identify what type of material that might be chemically. So we can tell, for example, whether it's calcite or whether it's quartz or some other kind of material like that. And so what we found and what's a little bit different about our work is we were able to use some more specifics about those spectra that we get to differentiate how well ordered at the atomic level the calcite was. And so what this allowed us to do is it turns out that if you make a plaster wall or floor, for example, the atoms aren't very well ordered. And on the other hand, if you have a rock that's been around for a while, it turns out that's very well ordered at the atomic level. And so we were able to use this simple method to help us differentiate whether this was material that had been made by nature or had been made by humans.
And have you been able to use this on any archaeological material yet?
Yes, and in fact, the group that Stefano and I were both affiliated with, Steve Weiner's group at the Kimmel Center for Archaeological Science at the Weizmann Institute, has been using this technique for a few years now, and they were the first to notice that you could differentiate a little bit about these spectra. Basically, how wide the peaks were gave some information about whether it was plaster or it was rock. And so what Stefano and I did was basically demonstrated that this was indeed related to how well ordered at the atomic level these materials were. So we've been able to take this out on the site, so we can take this instrument, which is reasonably portable. It does require an electric generator to be out there, but then we can run these measurements actually on site and check right away to see what these materials are. And we can look at things other than calcite as well, and that's a little more standard. So, for example, I mentioned differentiating between calcite or quartz or sediments and this sort of thing. So we can also use that as a fingerprint for other different kinds of materials as well. And that's something that Steve's group at the Weizmann Institute does quite well.
Right. And Stefano, where do you want to take this research next now that you've got this new tool?
Well, now we can make fingerprints for a lot of other materials that have been not investigated in the same way. So our method, which so far describes what is known, now becomes predictive, because finally we have an explanation, and there is no reason why other systems that grow and are formed in similar way that calcite should not have the same properties. Okay, in the next months and in the next few years, we'll put a lot of effort in determining these shifts and these fingerprints for all these materials that we believe that might be of interest to be analyzed on field.
Stefano Curturalo of Duke University and Christine Podiska from Memorial University, Newfoundland. They found that infrared light can detect how ordered or disordered the crystal structure of a material is. And the more ordered the crystal structure is, the less likely it is to be a result of human activity. You can find their work in the Journal of Advanced Materials.